Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekend evening and sometimes on weekends. And this weekend, this Saturday night, is being broadcast at 8 o'clock at night. During the week, it's either at 6:30 or 9:30 or sometimes 8. And during the weekend, it's sometimes 11. Now, a few words about this show. This is a politically incorrect show. We do not aim for media lies, media hype, falsehoods, or false ideology. We're interested in facts and truth and critical thinking to arrive at facts and truth. Second thing, I'm a Christian. I'm not about to abandon that position. I adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, as well as the primacy of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, every word of which I believe to be inspired and true. And also, if I read books, I'm interested in reading books that will uplift me and raise me intellectually and spiritually, and put my soul in the right and intellect in the right direction. Could be C.S. Lewis, it could be G.K. Chesterton, it could be Augustine, it could be Saint Paul's epistles, which are the most significant and profound statements of the Christian faith you're going to find in the world. They're found after the Gospels and in the New Testament. I also run two radio shows, a podcast show and this Blog Talk radio show, which are broadcast all over the world and are heard very much in Africa and China and many other countries such as China, and Muslim countries visit these sites, and over 4,300 people have visited my podcast. I also am a writer. I've written 10 books. Christian books and legal books, two books called Select Legal Topics, a book called Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book called The Parables, on the Parables. I've recently completed a wonderful book, I think, that I was very happy in writing, a book on my analysis of all the 150 Psalms. I have to say this, as John Donne, has the Anglican poet and divine, has said, very aptly, the Psalms are the manna of the Church, meaning they are so inspired and so great that in any translation they come across with their spiritual depth. For me to read the Psalms is to know and come to know God in Christ as he expresses his thoughts in the Psalms. I advise you to read the Psalms. Go back to the Psalms. If you don't want to read my book, at least read the Psalms. I also am working on two books of blogs, literary, theological, and political, and blogs on current events. Those are two books there. I'm working on a book on the miracles in the Bible, and I'm working on a book on the analysis of the book of Job at some point when I have more time. Right now I'm busy writing these other books, but I write these books because I enjoy writing and I enjoy expressing my thoughts on the most profound and in-depth issues that you're going to find in the world. As Morton Radler said of the Bible, how to read the Bible is the foundation of Western culture, and without it, we are really lost. Now, tonight, I want to talk about something that's very important. It's a matter of Christ and culture. When I was a young person, a student, I had the opportunity to read a very interesting and significant book entitled Christ and Culture by H. Richard Niebuhr. He was a professor at Yale Divinity School, and he analyzed and considered the interaction between Christ and culture. I don't have the depth of knowledge, understanding, and scholarship as exhibited in this book by Professor Niebuhr, but I'd like to offer a few thoughts or ideas about the relation and relevance, if you will, between Christ and culture. The Church really is not connected with any particular culture. The Church started out as connected with Jewish religion and culture. And as the Church grew in the ancient world, the Christian religion became more prevalent in the Greco-Roman world and became connected with that culture. So the Church started out as connected with the Jewish religion and culture and then expanded to the Greco-Roman culture. And St. Paul was the original arbiter and thrust of bringing Christ and his message and thoughts to Greek culture. However, as the Church grew and extended, the Christian religion became at some point not only connected with Greco-Roman culture, but with the European culture. The result is that the church became so connected with European culture that many poets, artists, and composers became connected with the church and with the Christian culture. Many of the major philosophers, theologians, composers, and artists were church-connected, such as Aquinas, Dante, Milton, Bach, Mozart, and many others. And so there was a mistaken belief that maybe it's not so prevalent today, that the European culture was the sole vehicle for understanding the church. And it's really not true, because I don't think the church is connected with any particular culture. It has been connected with monarchies successfully. It has been connected with socialism. It even became connected with communism. It has been connected with capitalism. And so this is what we're going to say, that yes, for many Christians, the European culture was the Christian culture, but this is a mistake and it's misleading, because the church is not connected with culture. The church has its goal of bringing people to eternal love in Christ. The church's function is to present the gospel and bring people to Christ so they can evolve and grow. The term used in the New Testament is sonship, meaning that the person not only has a relationship with Christ, but that relationship is an evolving one of continued growth. You might say this might be said what Jesus means in using the term being born again. So we have to understand the church's function is not cultural. It is not connected with great music, as much as music may be great. It is not connected with art, as it was connected with European art. The church's function is to bring souls to Christ. And therefore, the church can be found doing quite well in any culture, whether African, where you have people dancing around drums in a church service, or American Indian, or Asian, or wherever the church may be bringing people to Christ. In fact, the church has no connection with any particular culture or any form of government. It flourished in the Roman Empire under a monarchy. It continued to function under monarchies in Europe, such as the Tsar, the French monarchy, and the English monarchy. The church really adapts, is not part of any culture, but is within it and functions in that culture, whatever is presented. The church has also functioned quite effectively in democratic countries, capitalist countries, such as the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. The church can even be found in places as New Guinea, which is very primitive, thought to be primitive, or is present in advanced societies, such as the present in the United States and Europe. People who oppose a non-European presentation of the gospel in Christ are making a mistake. They are mistaking a particular cultural form and artistic protection for the church's purpose. The church's purpose is to bring souls into relationship to the love of Christ. It is not connected with art. It is not connected with music. It is not connected with any form of government, whether socialist, communist, monarchy, whatever, capitalist, or socialist. It has no connection with government or systems. Church function has a separate function in society to bring people to Jesus. I'm not taking away from artistic expressions such as Bach cantatas or the Gothic cathedral, but to connect European culture with the Christian message is a gross, big mistake. We cannot connect a particular culture, however valuable and beautiful, with the Christian message, which is bringing people to Jesus or calling people to Christ. It is true, in fact, there are many educated people that are repelled by Pentecostal and Baptist churches, which are emotional and feeling-oriented in their Christian expression, as opposed to the liturgical, sacramental, and more formal Christian expression found in the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches. So yes, there are really fairly educated people who are so connected in their church with the European culture they may be repelled and oppose the Pentecostal and Baptist churches, which are feeling and emotional oriented, as opposed to the sacramental and more formal Christian expression found in the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches. Those who are set off or annoyed or distressed by these evangelical churches, whether African or in New Guinea or Baptist or Pentecostal, they mistake the purpose of the church, which is to bring souls to Christ. And that purpose can be found in any culture, in any place, in any way or form. So what are we going to say here? I say this and I can't emphasize it more significantly. The church has no connection with any particular culture. It is not about church. The church is not about culture. That is not its purpose. Its purpose is to bring souls to Christ. So Jesus and the church have no connection with race or culture or any particular expression of society. In fact, one may say that Christ and the church have little or no concern with cultural expression, even though some people may see that cultural expression, an artistic procession, as an expression of Christian belief. But these are what the Christ is concerned, not at the outward trappings of the individual person and soul. So, what do we have to say? The church has no connection with race, culture, or any particular societal expression. In fact, one may say that Christ and the church have little or no concern with cultural expression. However significant that may be important for some people, it is missing the point. Christ is not concerned with the outward trappings of culture, but with a relationship with him. So maybe a lot of secular people, there are quite a few of them, may laugh at the poor and underclass flocking to a Baptist or Pentecostal church. But they laugh and not understand that the church's purpose is not to what is thought to be an advanced, as a more advanced in cultural thinking or culturally expressible. So the mistake in their thinking, who laugh at the poor and underclass flocking to a Pentecostal or Baptist church, is the mistake in their thinking is to misunderstand the church's purpose, which is not to be what this society thinks it should be as more advanced or culturally accepted in thinking, but the church doesn't distinguish in its expression education or level of culture. But as I say, it is not concerned with education. It is not concerned with level of culture, but as the goal and purpose of bringing people to a knowledge of Christ and relationship with him and his offer of eternal life. So yes, many secular people, they laugh at the poor and underclass people flocking to a Pentecostal or Baptist church. The mistake in their thinking is to misunderstand the church's purpose, which is not to be what this society thinks it should be as more advanced or culturally acceptable. The church does not distinguish in its expression level of education or level of culture, but has the purpose and goal of bringing people to a knowledge of Christ and understanding of it and his purpose and his offer of eternal life. Let me add one point here before I conclude this about Christ and culture not having no connection with the purpose of the church, which is bringing people to Christ. For many years, in the United States at least, the Protestant church was connected with the capitalist system. A man named Max Weber wrote a book about the connection between the Protestant church and the capitalist system. And he made a connection. And maybe there has been a connection with the capitalist system in the church in the United States. But I really think, to tell you the truth, the capitalist system is quite antithetical to the church in its message, with its emphasis on greed, competition, and material goods, and the creation of class divisions. So I don't think that capitalism in many ways is antithetical to the church's message, with its emphasis on greed, competition, material goods, and the creation of class division. The result is there's a lack of love in the capitalist system. It's competition, it's greed, it's material goods, it's creation of class division, and love is found in mutual concern and relationship. So the capitalist system pits people against each other. So I have to conclude here that possibly socialism might be a system closer to the Christian ideal than capitalism. Socialism involves sharing, income redistribution, elimination of classes, and elimination of class divisions and income inequality, elimination of income inequality. But I have to say, ultimately, the Christian method and its ethic can function in any culture and any economic system, but it has successfully done so for over 2,000 years. Perhaps I might account for this by saying that the church is in any culture, but not of it. I suggest if you want to know about this topic, look at chapter 9 and 19 of my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, on pages 48 to 50. I think you'll find it interesting, and I advise you to read Christ and Culture by Richard Niebuhr, a professor at Yale Divinity School who analyzed this subject. And I end this by saying, the church is not about culture, but it is about souls and eternal life offered by Christ. That's as much as I have to say. Good night.